Welcome back, guys. So this is Vincent again. Happy to see you again. Previous episode, we just talked about general introduction. So as a reminder, we're going to talk about how you can implement a DevOps process using Visual Studio Team Services and Microsoft Azure. And we talk about what's the application lifecycle management process and the idea behind the ideas and the concepts behind that. And also, we made a very high level introduction about Visual Studio Team Services and Microsoft Azure. So today we're going to talk about the build system in Visual Studio Team Services and how we can set up automated builds for any kind of project. Basically, it doesn't matter, doesn't really matter if you're doing ASP.NET, Windows phone applications, Android applications, Node.js projects. Basically, whatever you're doing, you will be able to do it with this new build system. Why would you want to automate builds? Well, for multiple reasons. First thing being, you want to have predictable results. Every time you take all the source code of your application and you transform it so you have something you can deliver, you want the source code to go through the same exact process with the same exact tools, no matter if it's developer one or developer two who is building it, and to make sure you will have the same exact outcome with a small difference of changes you made in the sources, of course. So that's the first reason why you would like to automate builds. With that comes constant quality, because you're not missing a tool, because you don't have a tool which the version has changed, because you are not forgetting any step because it's automated, you will have constant quality. Because I don't know if you have had this kind of issues in your teams or at your office, but that used to be the case a lot before we automated DevOps processes at our office. We used to have situations where we would ship a build to customers which was missing something, which was because we forgot the step or anything like that. So when you automate those kind of things, you are make sure you won't forget anything. The other reason why you would want to do that, because it's time saving basically. While the machine is building automatically and everything is being done automatically, your developers can focus on what matters the most, coding or debugging or supporting the customer or bringing some new value to the application, not doing some technical steps which actually don't bring any kind of value. And the last reason, which is not on the slide, is also because everything starts from here. If you don't have any kind of automated builds, well, you won't be able to do automated testing, automated deployment, automated anything. You won't be able to do that. So first thing first, automated builds. In Visual Studio Team Services, you have two kinds of build systems and architecture and tools and so on and so forth. The first one being the XAML build definition. So that was before 2015, and it was really hard to debug because basically you would have this XAML workflow. You would only be able to edit with Visual Studio, and it will basically be super difficult because the machine would do stuff and you would not have any idea of what was going on. Either it would be running perfectly or crashing, and well, that's your job to debug it. So it was a bit complicated. And also it requires a controller plus an agent, and this controller and this agent, they do not update automatically. So you have to maintain a whole machine and to update that every 3 months, every time there is a new patch and so on and so forth. So it was kind of a pain also to maintain it, to keep it running. You still have this agent on premises if you want to use it. You still have this agent on the cloud if you want to use it. But again, it's going to be complicated, and integrating third parties is going to be like terrible, and don't use it, guys. Saving you a lot of time. Every time you see Visual Studio or Team Foundation Services and XAML and build together, if you're not doing Windows Phone or Windows applications, well, run away. It's going to be painful. It's going to be tears, sweat, and blood. So don't use it. And with Visual Studio Team Services since 2015 or TFS on-premises 2015, you have this new build 2015. So it's basically JSON definitions. It's JSON stuff, right? So everybody can read it, it's easy to read. And it comes with a web editor. So your main tool to edit the build definition is your browser. Everybody has a browser, everybody's good to go, no matter if you're using Visual Studio or not. You can be doing Node.js development on a Linux machine and still be able to edit those definitions with your web browser, basically. It has a lot of third parties integrations. These third parties can be built in with Visual Studio Team services, or they can come with a marketplace for free or something you pay. Really depends on which one you're using. And if you still cannot find whatever you're looking for, well, you can always run some bash script, some PowerShell, some command script, and or, well, do a pull request on GitHub, because all the tasks are basically on GitHub. So if something doesn't work as you wish it would work, or if something is missing, well, just do open an issue, do a pull request, and a few weeks from now, you will see it coming for everybody, basically. And the thing I prefer is the agent auto-update. So you can, as the previous one, you can either use your CloudBurst version, so you don't have to update or patch or install anything. You're just being built by the minute of building usage you're doing. Or you can set up on-premises build machines, and then the great thing about that, the agent auto-updates. So you install it once, it will auto-update, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. So as I said, you have two kinds of agents. If you're using Visual Studio Team services, not the on-premises version, but the online version of the service, you can either use hosted agents. So basically, it's a pool of machines. Microsoft is hosting in Microsoft Azure, and they have every tools you could imagine. They have Visual Studio, they have Xamarin, they have Android IDEs, and a lot of other tools already installed on the machines. And they keep it running, they patch it, they update it, they do whatever it takes to keep it running and have the great experience. And they only bill you per build minute usage you're doing. So if your whole build process takes, for example, 7 minutes to complete, right, they will charge you 7 minutes of usage. And it's very, very, very cheap. And the other great stuff is you get 4 hours per month for free. So if you have small teams, if you have small projects, if you don't do a lot of builds, well, it's basically free. So go ahead and use it. You don't have you don't even have the excuse of we don't have the money in our company. And then what you can do if you don't want to use their hosted agents for some reason, because we don't have all the tools. For example, we do a lot of SharePoint server development, and SharePoint server is not available on the hosted agents, or for any other reason, well, you can still install the agent on premises. So you can, or in Azure or in Amazon Web Services if you wanted to. Basically, you install the machine, you install the agent, you install all the tools you might need at some point. And what you do is you just keep it running, back it up, patch it, and so on and so forth. But the agent, again, auto-updates, so I find it very, very great and useful this way. And enough for the slides, let's jump to the demonstrations. So I wanted to show you guys different projects because to show you that you can basically use this system with any kind of technology. It's not tied to Microsoft stuff or .NET stuff or whatever. So the first project we're going to see here today, and you're going to see those again in different episodes, is BizDesk 365. Basically, BizDesk is a web portal for our customers, so they can interact with us and have some insights about what's going on their systems, basically. Technology-wise, it's built on top of ASP.NET Core or DNX or whatever the name is now, they named it. And AngularJS 1.something. So front-end JavaScript, back-end .NET, basically. That's all you have to know. And before we jump into the actual build tab, I wanted to give you a little of insight about how we work. We have a team of developers which is working on different projects at a time, and we're doing kind of Scrum methodology. Well, it's not formally implemented in our case, but we took what we needed and let the other things for now, right? That's how it's supposed to work anyway. And then we mostly use Visual Studio, but not only. We have people coding in Visual Studio Code, the little editor from Microsoft, or any other tool, basically. Backend, we on the legacy projects, we use Team Foundation version control. On the new project, we use Git on Team Foundation services. So basically, this is still Visual Studio Team Foundation services, holding everything and storing everything and so on and so forth, but it's serving as a Git repository. And so we can interact with VSTS using Git, basically. And on top of that, we use the Git flow process for our branches and things like that. So if you want to have a little bit more information on how we manage our sources and how we organize our team, just feel free to ask. I'll try to answer in the comments. And if it requires another episode, well, I'll do another episode if you guys want to see that. So those things are mostly work and code. Work is basically all the Visual Studio Team services, part dedicated to planification, to backlog, to agile, anything like that. And code is dedicated to, well, your repositories and the code you have to store somewhere, all right? And before we jump in the build tab, I wanted to show you this dashboard. So basically on the welcome page of any team project, you can build a dashboard with anything, any widget basically. So the build results, the test results, the sprint burndown, or anything you want to have on the dashboard. The great thing about that is you can provide that thing to deciders. So at one glance, they see how the project is going, how the sprint is going, and are things are going good or bad, and well, do we need to take action on that? They don't need to have many tools or many things. They have everything at one place when you are talking about their development in general. All right, so then let's click on the build tab. So here you have all the build definitions on the left, and you have all the build results. So basically, a result is what? Is the combination of a definition with a certain state of the source code. So the source version, for example, is commit, this commit, right? Together, and the process, so the definition, run on the top, on top of sources, basically. This is what it is. If you click on any build, you'll see the different tasks that the build ran, basically. How much time did it take? What's the stage of the deployment? The commits and the changes are supposed to be associated, but I guess my developer didn't tag the, his commits properly. And the test results and so on and so forth. You can download the artifacts it produced after building the whole thing. And also that you can, what you can do is see for each step, what is the details and what are the logs, what happened basically. So for example, here, gulp build, well, this is what everything what happened during that build process and so on. If we go, if we right click on a build definition and we edit it, you can see it's very simple. So this is the web editor of build definitions of Visual Studio Team services. And basically we have many steps here. The first one will be, well, install all the NPM stuff we might need, right? So all the dependencies we might need. Build all the gulp tasks and run those tasks, right? To make sure we build properly our JavaScript and we uglify it and whatever it takes to do it. And then we have this task, which is DNX build. So basically it will take an ASP.NET Core project and build it, and I'll put it somewhere. This task is, well, please produce the symbols for .NET. So in .NET, you have the assembly where the code is compiled, right? And you have also have another file of .pdb. And this file is storing all the symbols for debugging. So you can take these symbols, take Visual Studio, take the version you ship to your customers, and debug everything remotely or whatever you want to do. this step is in charge of that. And the last thing is, well, gather everything I want to gather in the outcome. So I want to gather that, this partial script, this thing and that thing, and well, keep it, don't discard it. Then you have other options like, do you want to do multiple builds at once? Do you want to create a work item failure? So if basically the build fails, it will create a bug linked to the developer who started the build and say, okay, you need to fix that basically. You have the options about the repository. So where are we getting the sources from? So here from that repo, that branch, do we clean the sources before we get the new sources and so on and so forth. The whole system is based on a variable idea. So instead of passing all the parameters to the tasks or in the scripts or in the config file, well, you can add as many variables as you want here and then refer to those variables, for example, here in any step. So if you have to duplicate that build definition, well, you won't have to change 30 steps. You will only have to change the variables here. And these variables also can be defined when you ask for a new build. Triggers. So you have two kind of triggers. Continuous integration. So basically, every time somebody commits anything to the repository, well, we're going to start a new build automatically and build it and so on and so forth. And scheduled. So you can say, I want to build something every night, every week, and so on and so forth, just to make sure, well, you didn't break everything during the day, etc., etc. And then you have other information, for example, what pool do you want to use? So I told you that you can use either machines maintained by Microsoft or locally installed machines. That's up to you. That's how you say it. And then about the retention, how long do you want to keep the build results before we discard it? And then you have all the history of modifications to make sure, well, why it was modified, what were the changes, and do you want to restore this particular copy? So before I forget, when you want, you're editing your build definition, if you want to add a new task, it's as simple as that, add new step, and here you have a lot of tasks for doing whatever you want. And actually, most of them are not for Microsoft stuff. So it's Android, and you have things for Azure, of course. You have things to run PowerShell or Bash scripts. You have our Bash scripts too, right? Apache and so on and so forth. So you will find a lot of tasks to do anything you want here. If you don't have what you want, well, first check out the marketplace. There's an awesome marketplace here with a lot of extensions. So every time you will install this extension, any extension, it's going to bring along some new tasks that you're going to be able to use. For example, if you want to build ASP.NET Core websites, well, it's not here by default. You have to go into the marketplace and install the extension corresponding to that. And again, if you want something or to fix something or to add something to the core build tasks, well, you can still go to github.com / vsts-tasks. If this is a repo, you just do an issue, a PR, and it's going to show up in the next release, basically. And the other projects I wanted to show you is Oceanic. So basically, Oceanic is one of our products that we're building for our customers. Basically, it helps people working with SharePoint, having teams speaking different languages, to work together in SharePoint. This is what it does. So it's SharePoint stuff. And for those of you who do SharePoint, you might know it's sometimes complicated to do stuff with SharePoint, especially in terms of DevOps and continuous integration and so on and so forth, but it's still possible. So again, we have a dashboard. If we go to build and edit a build definition, we'll see that we do a whole lot of more things here. Same idea, the build is only a set of steps. And because we need to do custom stuff for SharePoint stuff, because it's SharePoint development, what we do is we have a lot of PowerShell scripts. So What I would suggest if you don't have anything and you don't know where to start is first do a list of all the tasks you do when you want to build something and ship it to the customers. You know, I build that, I run that command, I do this and do that, I copy this file and so on and so forth. List everything. Once you have that, first check out the steps that are already here to see if there is any match, right? For example, copy files is already there. For example, building something from Visual is already there and so on and so forth. But there might be things that you won't find. Then check out the marketplace. And if it's not on the marketplace, well, do some scripts, either bash command or PowerShell scripts or any of, or even some gulp tasks or anything like that, right? And once you have everything in place, well, it's only a matter of putting step one, step two, step three, step four, and so on and so forth, and mapping the right paths together, and you're done. So this is how we did it, basically. We had a few steps from Visual Studio Team Services, other we needed to build PowerShell scripts to do so, and this is how we automated our whole build process for our SharePoint product. All right, that's all for today. See you next episode. We'll probably see how you can release automatically and deploy automatically using Visual Studio Team Services. And yeah, thanks very much for your being here today. Bye-bye.